Welcome to Inside New Mexico. I'm Derek Underhill, and each week at this time, I have a conversation with the chairman of our Republican Party of New Mexico, former congressman of the 2nd Congressional District of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. How are you this week, Steve?
Well, we're doing great. Fall is in the air early mornings, feeling just about right, but this is a good time to be in New Mexico. The smell of chilies roasting, even in Hobbs, we get that, so it's a good time.
Well, the other thing that's in the air is impeachment.
Yeah, we've got a great program today. In our second segment, we're going to have John Block, representative from Otero County, talking about the impeachment articles that he and Representative Stephanie Lord, we've had her on the program. So we'll have him on to talk about those articles of impeachment. And yes, it's amazing when the governor violates the Constitution and makes the comment that no constitutional right, in my view, she said, including my oath, is intended to be absolute. That is exactly wrong. And
that's
what an oath is. And so I think that she's a little taken back by the pushback from not just Republicans, but Democrats across the state and across the nation are pushing back. You've got a great clip from CNN I'd like for you to play, where even they are asking her, what gives you the right to just set the Constitution aside? Because if the government can break the law during an emergency, then they're going to create emergencies in order to break the law.
Do you think you're on solid constitutional ground here?
Well, we're going to see. I mean, look, I wouldn't do it if I didn't think I had the right. I have the right.
Where is the right? Where is the
in
right?
In the state of New Mexico, public health, it's a suspension. It's not a ban. And we'll see what all of these court actions do.
We know that she created this public health emergency in order to do exactly what she did. But also, I'm not sure that people have heard the interview that she did with the Johns Hopkins Policy Institute. But in that, she declares everything is a public health emergency. That poverty, of course, she mentions gun violence. Then she mentions things which damage the environment will allow her to shut down oil and gas. When she mentions poverty, that simply is when she is saying that she will take your savings account, she will take your retirement account and redistribute them to those who have less. That's what she means by curing poverty, is taking your money that you work to save for your retirement and redirecting it to those people who haven't been as circumspect in preparing for retirement. And so what she is stating is nothing short of socialism, or if you want to use the word, nothing short of communism. The difference between socialism and communism, there's a famous quote that says the difference between the two is in communism, they carry a gun to enforce the orders. Socialism, they just come to you and tell you what you're going to have to do. So not very much difference between socialism and communism at all. And that's what she's espousing. But on that interview with the Johns Hopkins Institute, she is calling out an entire new generation to come and see that these policies that she's putting into place stand and in fact become law. And so you could say that she's enticing people into revolution. And so if the rules are applied equally to her and Donald Trump, then you'd say that she should be held accountable in the court of law, which I think she should be regardless. But this incitement, this calling out of the new generation of people, listen to yourself and listen to her words.
And so my advice is, if you want meaning in your work, in the same way you want meaning in your personal life, this is a body of effort that needs you, you will love doing, and you can see, again, that you're transforming whole lives and changing the trajectory. And that's what this country needs right now, in my view, more than anything. Everything is a public health issue. Gun violence is a public health issue. Poverty is a public health issue. Environmental consequences from energy is a public health issue. All of these disenfranchised populations, all of the equity barriers are all public health issues.
I think, Steve, the reason she thought that she could do this is because she did it before, during COVID.
Yeah, she was well practiced in this. And that was something that came up on the Fox interview when they called and talked to me about this. I'd like for our listeners to get to hear that.
You mentioned that if a politician thinks that all they have to do is declare an emergency and then they can set aside the Constitution or any other limitations on their power, then they'll declare more emergencies. I'm curious, you know, as a New Mexican, how out of left field was this for you? I mean, have there been previous emergency declarations that would have given her the idea that she has the ability to do this? Is this not the first, maybe? Is this actually, are we somewhere downstream of something like this taking place in New Mexico where emergency proclamations have been abused?
Yes, we are downstream because you remember in COVID, a lot of the states shut down small businesses and kept large businesses open. That's because they're subservient to the large businesses and they don't like the independent small businesses, can't control them. So yes, she's practiced this before. This time we're asking the Supreme Court set aside those public health orders that give her the so-called right to abolish the Constitution. She just doesn't have that right.
Now, I wanted to ask you about strategy. We may not agree with this governor. I've interviewed her. She's not stupid. I know some people like to call her names, but she's not stupid. She's very playful when you interview her, and she'd probably be a lot of fun on a date as long as you didn't talk politics. But she pretty much knew, she even said in the press conference, that this order may not stand. There's a reason she did this, I think, beyond the actual executive order.
I suspect she was encouraged to do it, and I think that the rest of the nation's Democrats, and especially the progressive Democrats, know that New Mexico has been controlled by Democrats for 90 years. They've ruined our economy. They've ruined our health care system. They've ruined our education system. They've created crime that no one can get away from here in the state. And so people know that and say, well, New Mexico is where we can run the test case. So I suspect that either the president or people very high in the administration put her up to it to test the waters, just to see how much pushback would actually come. They know they cannot pass the constitutional change. That requires, I think, two-thirds of the states, two-thirds of the House and the Senate to change the Constitution. So that's decades long. And I think that people in the administration were just looking to see if they could get by changing the Constitution with an executive order by a governor. If one governor could do it, then it could be held as the rule for every state then by different courts. And so I think she was probably put up to that. And so you never know what goes on behind closed doors, but we know what happened after she did it. And it's a ludicrous claim that she says that she's going to control crime this way. We've got a clip with her saying that she doesn't believe that criminals will follow the order at all. Therefore, she was attacking people who follow the law. They're not going to go around concealed carrying and then killing people. Very rarely are the concealed carry folks the ones out randomly creating gun violence. That's gangs. That's drug deals. That's people who are trying to steal in order to feed their drug habit. There are a lot of things that play into it, but very seldom would a concealed carry holder be the one that is doing violence. And so she was trying to get an order that would clip the rights of law-abiding citizens and then see if she couldn't sell that as a way to control the gun violence. Obviously, no one bought it, but listen to this clip with her saying that even the criminals are not going to follow it.
Do you really think that criminals are going to hear this message and not carry a gun in Albuquerque on the streets for 30 days?
No.
We will be back in just a moment with State Representative John Block and talk to him about the articles of impeachment he has filed against the governor on Inside New Mexico.
Attention, New Mexico veterans. If you were honorably discharged from the U.S. Armed Forces, you've earned state and federal benefits, and the New Mexico Department of Veteran Services is standing by to assist you. State benefits include a veteran's property tax exemption, education and training, and transportation services. We can also assist with claims for federal VA benefits. The state of New Mexico and this radio station thank you for your service. More information at nmveterans.org or 1-866-433-8387.
Welcome back to Inside New Mexico. As we mentioned in the last segment, we have John Block, our representative from District 51 in New Mexico. That's in the Alamogordo area. And John, you have put together with Stephanie Lord articles of impeachment for the governor of New Mexico. Tell us what that's all about.
Yes, Derek. So me and Representative Lord, we've been working very hard listening to constituents, listening to New Mexicans all over the state who saw this extreme and unconstitutional edict that she gave that essentially usurped all of our rights. All of our constitutional rights, she said, were not absolute. And essentially, she took away guns from law-abiding citizens in Bernalillo County for 30 days. So she's claiming that she has the authority as governor to do this. We all know she doesn't. She's crazy. So we are doing everything we possibly can to stop her. So there's lawsuits that are going down. We're supporting those. We're actually plaintiffs on one of the lawsuits. Also, we are working on the articles of impeachment right now. We just recently submitted the certificate form that has been sent to all 112 members of the House and Senate. So it goes to them, and then they will sign it saying that they want an extraordinary session to impeach the governor for betraying her oath of office and for betraying the Constitution. So that's the first step that we need. We need to get 3/5 majority of all members of the House and Senate to sign those, send them in, and then we can go in extraordinary session and impeach her. So that's the plan. Me and Representative Lord are working very hard on that. We're getting a lot of support from so many people, and hopefully we can get her impeached, because this is just something we can't let slide under the rug.
What do you think the chances are of, since most of the state legislature is Democrats, will they vote to impeach her?
Well, you never know. And what I tell people is you can't say you can't do something unless you try. And in this state, we have a lot of people who like to play armchair quarterback, cry all day, say, well, this will never happen. Democrats are in charge. The world's ending. But when we saw that she put forward her order that said that your constitutional rights are not absolute and I can take them away with a stroke of a pen, that not only angered Republicans. We need to realize all the Democrats who came out opposing her, including about 7 or 8 members of the House and Senate in the state. And you even had far-left Congress people like Ted Lieu. You had anti-gun extremist David Hogg even telling her it's unconstitutional and this is not okay. So if you have these kinds of people coming together with Republicans against the governor, then I absolutely think we have the support to take her out. And I'm not going to say, let's just quit. Let's just say, oh, the Democrats are in power, the world's ending, like some people are saying. I'm saying, let's actually try to do this. Because I don't think we've ever actually tried to impeach the governor before. And so why not give it a shot? And I think we will see that there is more support out there than we're giving ourselves credit for.
The Republicans are being criticized by the Democrats, saying that, well, you're stopping the governor from her action to cut crime down. But what have you done as Republicans to lower the crime rate in New Mexico and Albuquerque? And so I understand there's a bunch of bills that you tried to get through in the last session that never made it out of committee.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Derek. So myself and Representative Lord, we sit on the Consumer and Public Affairs Committee in the House. That committee, we see all these crazy crime bills that the left likes to ram through to make sure that we allow the criminals out on bail and all this stuff. And then we also see our bills, the Republican bills, to actually fight crime and not put these people back on the street. So we have a front row seat to every single one of these hearings, and we've seen repeatedly all of the bills that we put forward as Republicans to help fix the crime issue in New Mexico. They have all died immediately. Almost immediately they die. There was one bill from Representative Bill Ream that would enhance sentencing for criminals who are repeat offenders who get access to a firearm and they're felons. So federally, you cannot be a felon and have a gun. So this would essentially make those penalties harsher for these felons who have repeatedly been in and out of the system. This died immediately. The crazy people from the Office of the Public Defender, they said that since drug dealing is such a dangerous business, we need to arm the drug dealers with illegal guns. This is the kind of thought process we have coming from the other side. So there's other bills that even Democrats put forward. There were 3 Democrats, 2 from Albuquerque area, 1 from Alcalde. These people came together and said, okay, let's enhance sentencing for repeat carjackers. I thought, okay, that would be a great idea. Everyone is going to support that. The Democrats said, well, it'll increase the cycle of crime and incarceration. And since we don't want to put people in jail, we're all going to vote no on this bill, even though 3 Democrats are the ones who supported the bill and actually sponsored the legislation. So it was myself, Representative Lord, voting yes on a Democrat bill, whereas 4 far-left Democrats on that committee, they voted no on that. So Republicans and even some Democrats, we have absolute good suggestions, tangible ideas that can help alleviate crime. But unfortunately, the far-left Democrats and allies of the governor killed these bills immediately upon arrival. So how are we supposed to fix crime? You know, the governor's had 5 years. 5 long years that we have suffered under this governor, and she has done nothing that will actually fix the crime issue other than crying about it and saying Democrats are the only ones that are fighting on this because we want to talk about how taking your guns away is a good idea. Well, Republicans brought real results, real ideas, and they were killed immediately.
It seems like they've just taken away consequences for bad behavior. If you just bring that back, the crime rate would probably go down.
I would think so. But they don't want to even consider that idea. At least the people who have the opportunity to fix these issues, they don't want to hear it. Anything that would put a criminal behind bars, it keeps them up a night or something. I don't know what it is, but they just hate the idea of punishing a criminal. And I think that kind of thought process is what we need to overcome in order to fix our state.
Well, people are listening to us now in New Mexico. We're talking about this problem, and they're frustrated. Most of us know someone, especially here in the Albuquerque Metro where I am, that has had a car stolen, and they're frustrated. What can they do? What would you suggest?
Well, you know, number one, I would say that they need to call their representatives and tell them how they feel. If we don't try, like I said earlier, then we cannot get results. And I think it's important that people contact their legislators. So right now, myself and Representative Lord, we're fighting on this impeachment front. We need your help in that. We started a website called impeachmlg.com. Impeachmlg is just phonetically spell it out and go there. You can send a letter to every single one of the Democrat representatives and senators to help impeach the governor because we need to have an extraordinary session. Also, we can contact them about all the other bill ideas that are very good ideas. The Republicans, we put out a list of all the bills that we put forward and were killed by Democrats that would have actually fixed the crime issue. Let's resurrect those. Let's email our legislators and talk about that. Also, we need to start showing up. You know, Republicans, we are outnumbered. Yes, absolutely. New Mexico, we're outnumbered by Democrats. But if we make ourselves loud, if we make ourselves bigger voices in the state by showing up to important meetings, showing up to anything and everything, we need to combat their far left agenda. Too many times at these committee hearings, I hear one side, and it's me and the Republicans on the committee who are having to be the only voice for these conservative values that we have in New Mexico. So there are so many opportunities that we have as New Mexicans to fix these problems. We just need to take action. And we need to start paying attention, because if we don't pay attention, then we don't know what the rights are that are being taken away from us. And right now it's blatant what the governor said. She said, OK, I can take away your rights with the stroke of a pen. Let me do it. Not everything is as blatant as the governor is being. So we need to be very cognizant of what's coming up the pipeline and how we can stop it.
I have seen, and many people may not be aware, that you put out an online newspaper called the Pinyon Post, where people can keep up on what's going on the conservative side, on the Republican side, just by subscribing to the Pinyon Post.
Yes. So for the last few years, I started the Pinyon Post. It's actually the largest online news publication in the state for conservatives. So we reach tens of thousands of New Mexicans every week. So that's a great resource. Just pinyonpost.com. Check it out, or just Google Pinyon Post. You can spell it however, and usually Google will pick it up. But I have a bunch of writers in the state who write news for New Mexico, and we're keeping our ear to the ground on every issue. So if you want to know what's happening in New Mexico, then absolutely go to pinyonpost.com, subscribe, and keep up to date that way.
All right. Our state representative, John Block from District 51 in New Mexico, thank you so much for your time today on Inside New Mexico, and I look forward to talking with you again and seeing how this progresses.
Thanks so much, Derek. I look forward to it.
I'll be back with Steve Pierce right after this on Inside New Mexico.
National Guard and Reserve members are true leaders, both in the military and in the workplace. They are highly skilled and get the job done every day. Employer support of the Guard and Reserve, ESGR, can help you recruit top-notch service members to your workforce. Hiring Guard and Reserve members is good for your business and good for your community. Visit esgr.mil/employers to learn more.
Thanks for staying with us on Inside New Mexico. As I continue my conversation with the chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, Steve Pierce. And Steve, I noticed after the lawsuits were filed, The governor backed off a bit. You can conceal carry now in Albuquerque, just not in public places like parks. It still violates the Constitution, right?
Yeah, it still violates the Constitution. But if those initial lawsuits, and our lawyer predicted exactly this, he said if our lawsuit is too tight and only tied to the gun order that she issued, then she'll simply change a couple of words and then all of the lawsuits will become moot and they won't apply because the words won't be the same. So from the beginning, our lawyers crafted a slower process. It took a few days to work it out, but they crafted the order not only against guns, but then the petition calls for the public health orders that she used to be set aside. The public health order is the key to everything. And if she can't use that again, that's what we're petitioning the court for. If she can't use it again, then this ends the whole question right here, because other states will watch. And eventually, I suspect if the left really wants to pursue this, and if the New Mexico Supreme Court decides against her, this case could end up in front of the U.S. Supreme Court. And I think that they would absolutely not allow a governor to use a public health order to change the Constitution. And so that's our lawsuit. And again, all the New Mexico GOP legislators signed on with us in that lawsuit. And so we've got a unanimous front walking forward with the Republican Party of New Mexico joining forces with all the Republicans in the legislature, both House and Senate. And the NRA wanted to join with us too. They realized that the low-hanging fruit was the guns, but they also realized that the bigger issue was the public health order, and so they asked to be a part of our suit, and we accommodated them. They represent a lot of gun owners around the country and a lot of gun owners in New Mexico, so we felt like it was appropriate that they would join with us to fight this fight in the court. Now, a lot of the focus has been on the governor, but I think that we need to take just a minute and talk about Patrick Allen, the Secretary of Health. Now, remember that he resigned his post as Secretary of Health in Oregon.
Well, he had to, right? He was going to be fired, wasn't he?
Yeah, the governor-elect, Governor Kotek, declared that she was going to fire him for failure to provide access to health care. And so then he resigned. And then the governor of New Mexico goes up and gets the guy that wasn't qualified to serve there in Oregon, and she brings him here. When we brought that up in our press conference, then there were comments that came in on a YouTube post that said, "So glad they're bringing up Patrick Allen. As an Oregonian, I can say he's horrible." This post continues, "They left out the fact," they being the Republican Party, "left out the fact that his state agency, the OHA, Oregon Health Administration, I think was what it was held in contempt of court more than once by a Washington County judge. He also pushed radical ideology and had ethics violations while being on the Sherwood School Board. He should be fired and never allowed to work in government capacity. And here he is running the health department for New Mexico. You wonder why our health care is in such shambles here. It's because our governor can't find competent people to help. So she goes up and finds somebody that couldn't last in his job there, brings him here and puts him in charge. But I will tell you, my problem with him is that he knew this order that he was signing was one half of the elements required in order for the governor to do what she did. She couldn't have done it without his signature. So we're saying that he should be fired or he should resign and just go back to Oregon. Let us find somebody from New Mexico. We've got competent physicians. We've got competent administrators here. Let us find somebody from New Mexico who understands the Constitution and refuses to let the governor force them into a box to where they sign whatever it is she puts in front of them. If he had any integrity at all, he would have resigned. But since he didn't, then we're going to ask that he be fired or that the legislature take up a bill to get rid of him. We feel like he's equally culpable as the governor is. Now, the governor, again, claims that she's doing all of these things in order to stop crime. And yet the Republicans put out a significant list of bills that the Democrats killed. These bills were going to make it tougher on criminals. They were going to make consequences for violating the law. So when you have people clamoring for a special session right now, for the governor to call that. It's the only way special sessions happens. The governor has to initiate the call for it. But she refuses to do that because she knows that the Republicans will bring these issues back up, and it will put Democrats in a very hard position. Given the outcry against the governor's action, it'll put the Democrats in the legislature in a very bad position to vote against these or to kill the bills again. She doesn't want to cure crime. She wants the situation that we have, and she wants to use the situation to take away gun rights from law-abiding citizens. That's the reason that she's unwilling to call this special session. She doesn't want to embarrass the Democrats, who are already in a tough spot. Very few are supporting her. If you remember, the Attorney General said that he wasn't going to support her. She had the different law enforcement officers around the state say they're not going to enforce her illegal gun order. And so it's not just Republicans. But Democrats are being forced to finally acknowledge that the progressive policies of the Democrat Party are taking the country in the wrong direction, and it's going to hurt them badly in the coming election. Just as we finish out this segment, I would note that the U.S. House of Representatives is asking a DOJ to send a representative in to talk about this case because it has national implications. So since she put out the lawsuit, she's been instructed that it is unconstitutional. The Attorney General, who is Democrat, says he'll not defend her. A federal judge temporarily set the bill aside. And by the way, this is a Biden appointee. This is not a Trump appointee, but he blocked the order temporarily until it can be heard. And so all in all, it's been a very bad week, week and a half for the governor. So it's not surprising that she bailed out and left the state and left the country. I think she's going overseas for, I'm sure, a trade mission or something very important. She doesn't understand the least bit how to improve the economy.
Steve Pierce, chairman of the Republican Party of New Mexico, thank you. And if you've been listening to us and would like to find out more about the Republican Party of New Mexico and what they're doing, you can check out the website at newmexico.gop. The party has a Facebook page and a Twitter account, now an X account. The handle is at newmexico.gop. If you would like to speak to someone in person, you can call party headquarters in Albuquerque at 505-298-3662. That's 505-298-3662. For Steve Pierce, I'm Derek Underhill. We look forward to meeting with you again at this time next week, right here on Inside New Mexico.